I would like to pray again. Shall we bow down our heads in prayer? Eternal Father, we thank you for this moment. We are before you as your children. Speak to us as Father speaks to his children. That before we leave here, we'll never be the same. I am but a man, Lord. I yield my members to you as a vessel. Speak through me. Let your children hear your voice, not my voice. Let them hear your words, not my words. Give us understanding. Open the eyes of our brain that we may withhold wondrous things out of your law so as to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing to unveil what the church thought or decided on as a vision for the church this year. And today we are on adventure, but under the adventure we have risky faith. Last week we feasted on risky faith part one. That's what we took home with us. Today I am handling risky faith part two. But just for introduction, I want to caution and to advise. In Matthew chapter 4, the verse 1 to 11, when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, Jesus' quotation to Satan, Jesus took it from Deuteronomy chapter 8, the verse 3, which is the Old Testament. And when the Pharisees asked Jesus in Matthew chapter, in Luke 17, about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was explaining, and then he referred them to a history or something that took place still in the past, in the Old Testament. So in Luke 17, 32, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That alone is a big sermon. And when such a thing is said, it means we must look at the past so as to learn from it and change our lifestyle. Looking at certain instances or evidences help us to move better. People in the Bible, stories in the Bible, they are not just there as an accident or coincidence, but they are there to teach us a lesson, to help us to shape our life better. When we do Bible studies and we take something like character study, we want to study that character so as to be what that character is. And then that character is able to please heavens. So Jesus referring to Lot's wife means that everybody reading that phrase should know that there is something in there to look at. I say this because there are times we wonder if it is anything worth looking at the Old Testament. But the scripture we just read taught us a lot, and all the stories were in the past in the Old Testament. But if the Savior who bought you and I with his blood believed the Old Testament and referred to the Old Testament, I have no choice than to believe and preach from the Old Testament. I have no reason that to continue believing the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Bible makes it clear that we shouldn't take anything out of the Bible, neither should we add anything. So it is for us to know that both the Old Testament and the New Testament are for us to understand and to handle. And so unveiling what we just read in Hebrews 11, the verse 20 to 40, is what I am handling today. But then I switch it a bit, giving it my own title, Imitating the Heroes of Faith. Excuse me. Imitating the Heroes of Faith. And I have a picture there, earlier. You see, we all take risk one time or other in our life without knowing, or sometimes deliberately you take a step and you see that it is a risk, really. We joined buses without checking the bus driver's driving license to know whether he's qualified to drive. It's a risk. We all come here sitting on these chairs without checking if these chairs are strong enough to take us. It's a risk. We go out from our houses to places without checking if at the bottom of our dress, on the way, the dress will be torn into pieces, or where the tailor has sewn, the thread will go out. It's a risk. We move out without looking into our shoes whether, well, I'll be using this shoe for some time, or has the weather impacted the shoe so that on the way, the shoe will open its mouth and then I'm not able to walk. It's a risk. You see, and on, there are many risks we take. Even the fact that you are married to somebody is a risk. The person has been brought up from different background. You are also from different background. Coming together is a risk. Let alone going to a hospital and a GP prescribing something to you, a medicine, is a risk. So we see, but if you look at children, assuming a child is on this table, look at the gap between here and there, and you are there asking the child to come, like you saw in the picture, the child was taking a risk. Taking a risk, but yet he has some faith in you that you will never let him or her fall. These people that is mentioned in Hebrews 11:20-40, they have in different instances taken steps of risk. However, they have certain things in common. They were all created by God, like you and I. They are fresh flesh and blood, like you and I. And they are thinking being. But they took this step of faith in a different dimension, and it pleases God. So when Bible have them there, it is for us to learn from them and be able to what? Imitate them. I understand that some people might have taken risks in the past for which it didn't go well and they are not willing to. The repeated failure syndrome causes people not to take any step again. A businessman who has failed will be cautious not to invest in that area again. But we must take the risk. It is worth taking the risk. And taking the risk means stepping out in faith. It's something you haven't tried before. But one thing that is common with these people again is that they were willing to have a change and adapt to a change of situation. We all call Abraham our father and claim the blessings of Abraham. But he took a risk. It was a risky faith. The step he took, he was asked to go out, not knowing where he was going. But he was willing to adapt to the circumstance. If today this message will bless you and I, then we must be people who understand, who will be willing to take that risk and be willing to adapt to a change. A change may come in different form, like we just read. The people take different steps. Look at the story about Rahab. She was a prostitute, but she took the risk, willing and deciding that I will adapt to a change. I won't live that life anymore. But these people coming, they are also not from my tribe nor my country, but I will adapt to them. So if we here want to please heaven, we need to step out in faith, willing to adapt to a different situation. So as we read on, Hebrews 12, the verse 1 is saying, We are surrounded with so much cloud of witnesses which have in different measure different way, experimented or exhibited what they wanted to do to please heaven. And this is enough witness and testimony to us today to look at, take on board, then imitate them. If it went well with them, it will go well with us. Because we are surrounded by them. And I want to tell you that 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says that, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. So Christianity, in a sense, is a race. We must run and run well. We must run and finish. There is a race and there is a finish. But it is important to start well, but it is also crucial to finish well. Many before us started well, but they didn't finish well. King Solomon started well, but his end was a disaster. Samson started well, but he didn't end well. King Saul, we all know the story. He began well, but he ended badly, very, very bad. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the verse 8 says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. So how we began in Christ now, heaven is expecting that each and everyone listening today, we should be able to end well. So that we can agree with what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. And in Matthew 24, the verse 14 to 30, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he made a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling, a rich man, a wealthy man traveling for a very long time. And he called unto himself his servants. And he gave one 5 talents, another 2, another 1. And after a long time, when he returned, the 5-talented man had 5 in addition. The 2-talented man also had 2 in addition. But the lazy one who has the 1 talent, I call him lazy because he didn't do anything with it. He said he thought the man reaped where he didn't sow. So he went to heed it. And the end of him was the lake of fire, which is hell. As we are all seated here today, God has endowed each and every one of us sitting here with gifts, skills, talents, abilities, so rich that he is expecting profit from it. If we dare not take the risk, there will never be any profit on it. If we dare not step out in faith to invest what he has given to us, there will be lying within us very dormant. What am I saying here? I am calling each and every one of us that it is time that we stop sitting on the fence and get involved. It is time that we should stop being discouraged for what you've seen so as to move forward. It is time to look at it that, well, I am afraid. Sometimes fear put us in a different way so that we are not willing to accommodate or to do certain things for the Lord. But I believe that from today, we'll be willing to adapt to a change. Taking the risky faith to move on as heaven is expecting from us. Because I want to surprise you by saying that the first risk taker is God the Father. He's your God and my God. He created us. He took the risk to create man in Genesis 1, and he said he has put all his creation under man. So you and I are to be the overall boss of all God's creation. It's a risk. During the flood, Noah, God gave him another chance, opportunity. After people messed up and God destroyed them, God chose Noah and his family to be the team leader of all the animals. He brought them together to take care of them. It's a risk. But after the flood, men didn't learn anything. They still want to do the worst. So God decided to give man another chance. And men began to build the Tower of Babel so that they can reach up to God, even though God was taking another risk. It's a risk. Bible says children are gifts from God. So for God to give his child, if you are having a child, if you don't have one yet, or whatever you have around, I want to tell you that it's a gift from God. Children are God's property. And he's given to you and I to take care of them. It's a risk. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the sea, he asked Jesus if he could come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter took the steps of faith. It was a risk. So as to move to Jesus. So you and I are challenged with things of this world. But when we allow those things to cloud us, it will be difficult to take risky faith, to take the steps that God is expecting us. We cannot fulfill God's call upon our life without taking risk. We need to take risk. And if we look, we need to ask ourselves, God even breathing into us. Bible say, we were clay, dust. God is the potter, man clay. And after creating us, he breathed his breath into us. So he took another risk. Putting part of him in us is a risk. But you and I have witnessed how many times we have disgraced God in a different way. But God never stopped taking risk. How are these people able to manage? These heroes of faith. How are they able to cope or to take such a step to please heaven? They trusted God as the landlord of the universe. Because part of God is in him. Bible says when we become Christian, God's seed is in us, which is Christ. So if God is a risk taker and part of him is in us, it gives us the strength, the ability, the power, so that we can be able to take the risk that heaven is demanding. And these people, they hope in God. Hebrews 11:10 says that Abraham, looking forward to a God who he knew. Let me take that. Hebrews 11:10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. One of the reasons why these people were able to do it was that they looked unto God as the one who has the foundation, and he is the architect, and he is the same builder. So the new Jerusalem, the new city, which you and I have faith to go into, for us to be able to take that risk of faith, We need to put in focus that God, who has called us, he is the same architect and he is the builder. Jesus said, I am going to the Father to prepare a place for you. When I come, I will take you with me, so that where I am, there you may be also. This is a promise. And Jesus has left over 2,000 years now. If God uses 6 days to prepare this world, and we are so fascinated and love the world so much, can we imagine how heaven will look like? The Bible says the streets are made up with gold. Here, the things people cherish most, individuals, countries, are gold, diamond, Israel. But the street of gold, the street of heaven, will be made up of gold. This is why it's taking Jesus so long to prepare. So if we focus on where our home will be, our eternal home will be, it is worth taking the risk. Bible says what God has prepared for us is not anything compared to what we see here. He said, neither has he entered into our hearts. Have we ever imagined it? Has God prepared for those who love him and are waiting for him? So in heaven, we will be seeing what we have never seen before. We will be enjoying what we have never enjoyed before. Better, better, and best. God is an excellent God. So if we think of what we will be achieving, we better take the risk. Athletes train, spend their time, take risks, chances, because of the medal that they will be crowned with. Christianity says race. So if you and I are racing in this journey, we should stay focused on what we will be getting at the end of it. The reward that will be given to us in heaven. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our soul. Jesus is the author of our life and he's the finisher of it. But if we look unto him, we'll be able to do immeasurable things. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, if you and I understand that Jesus will strengthen us, we will be able to step out to take that risk of it. Because there is a reward for it. And as we read, the people took their step in a different area. The vision for the church is that we want a multicultural church. Are you ready and willing to adapt to it? I'll tell you a story. I had an uncle who died as an educationist. And at his old age, whenever he wants to drive and you are in his car, he drives slowly. And then when he wants to go 30 miles per hour, and you know, Africa, they don't really do this, they check whether you are wearing the seatbelts. Then you say, I'm about to drive 30, wear your seatbelt, and hold firmly to something. Because he believed that is a very great speed. The church of God, it is time that we take that great speed. So if you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I want to plead with you that hold firm to Christ today so that you'll be able to adapt to the changes that God wants to bring to this church. Be prepared to go out of your own way to meet people you have never met before. Be prepared to talk to people who are within you. Normally, you will never have talked to them. In the chapter 11, the verse 40, The Bible says God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God has planned a lot for this church, but it will only materialize when we are together. United, we stand. Divided, we fail. If we want this church to grow, if we want to reach to the world, as Jesus has commanded us, we can only do it when we are united. The church of God today, worldwide, is losing its grip gradually. What is sin is now called good. And what is good is now turning to be evil. Christians are no longer having their voices in places, in parliament, in workplaces, because we are not together. We are not united. But Bible is saying here that these people, they united. And the perfection God wants to bring to his church, it can only come when we are united, when we are together. When I don't see you from different race or different tribe, when I don't see you from different age group, that, well, you are too young, and then in our days, this is how we do it. But if we are men and women of the scripture, and we are willing to adapt to a change, it may be difficult. Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's what God has ordained us to be. So as a priest, what is your office of ministry? Your workplace, in the street, in the marketplace, in the shops, in the buses. There are many people, only out of the world population, which is 7.4 billion now, only one third are Christians. If you and I continue sitting on the fence without taking the step of risk, we will never reach to them. Yes, sometimes we take the step of risk and they do other things. If you have never witnessed to anybody before, 2017, we are in March now. Have we taken any step to talk to somebody and tell Jesus loves you? It is not an option. We are commanded to do it. You need to give your time to pray for the missionaries, evangelists, people who are going laboring to bring the souls to the kingdom. Revelation 7:9, God is expecting in heaven people from all languages, all nations, from every part of the earth. So this church will one day be filled with people from all nations. If you are not ready to accept that change, it can't happen. If I'm not willing to accept that change, it wouldn't happen. Together, we need to agree to accept it, so as to adapt to it. We may see people of different languages, different professions. If we are willing to adapt, God will perfect it. We need to help people. We need to pray. We need to use our money to invest and to send people out to preach. Support missionary work. Support evangelism. Support soul winning. Bible says if a soul repents, there is joy in heaven. But you and I need to take that step. God has not given that opportunity to angels. You and I, God has taken that risk to trust us with the soul of our friend, human beings. So as we sit here, someone's salvation is in our mouth. Will you let it out or keep it to yourself? Will you speak to somebody that Jesus loves? Will you invite somebody to the house of God? Will you be willing to share, if you have two coats, one with somebody else, your food, anything, your time, your skills, your ability that God has endowed you with, are you willing to part with somebody? Are you willing to give it to somebody so that that person will say, because of this, I will take the step and come to the house of God? It's a risk. Probably in the past we have done so, and people come, they just use us, use the opportunity, and go away, and we don't see them anymore. But yet, we still need to take the risk. God has not given up on us because we fell in the Garden of Eden, but he's still with us. And on the way, we see how the Israelites, many times they murmured and complained to the promised land. Today, you and I might be murmuring, doing all kinds of things as we journey to heaven. But we still need to take the risk, because God is willing and is open to let everything be perfect and be fulfilled. Are we going to finish well? Or we'll stop here? I plead with each and every one. Let us together build this church by taking the risk that is necessary. It is worth it because of the Lord. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.